Let's find the Gospel of Mark chapter 7 in our Bibles this morning. Mark chapter 7. As you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God if you're able, as we read a number of verses beginning with number 24. Here God informs us, and from thence he, talking about Jesus, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Zidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Father, we're grateful for this historical account given to us in your word as we spend just a few moments considering a few simple thoughts. We ask your Holy Spirit would guide us, direct us, that you might receive the glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Bible gives us a lot of examples of mothers. Many of them are unnamed, as this woman is. And though we find that she is not Jewish, as most of the mothers given to us in God's Word are Jewish or the ancestors of the Jewish nation, but nevertheless, what we find here is a great example of a mother's prayer. And that's the title of the message this morning, A Mother's Prayer. As we come to this passage of Scripture recording this historical account, one thing that is significant for us to keep in mind, most of you would know this, but I'm going to say it nevertheless in case there's any that don't. The Jews thought God only worked for them. And so this woman, being a Greek, would indicate that the Jews, the disciples, would think, well, we can't do anything for you because you were born in the wrong nation. And so that's important to see in this passage of Scripture. But as we consider her prayer now, as we look into this, we find five things about her prayer. The first thing we find about her prayer was that it was passionate. She knew her daughter had a need, and she knew where to go for the answer to have that need resolved. And she knew it wasn't to the doctor. She knew it wasn't to the medicine man. She knew it wasn't to her religious leader. She knew it was to none other but God himself. And she heard that Jesus was in her parts, and so she traveled to where she had to go. But notice what it says that she did when she arrived at the house where Jesus was. She fell down at his feet. To me, that speaks of passion. She had a great desire to see God answer the request that she had dwelling in her heart, that she would share all her cares with him because he then would care for her. Too often when we bring our prayers before God, it lacks passion. It lacks any real desire to have these prayers answered. We just flippantly offer a few words and say, "God, I need this," and "God, I need that." And then we go on our merry way, and we leave God scratching his head and saying, "Do they really want that or not?" Now, God doesn't scratch his head and wonder about anything. But if I was a parent and my child came to me and said, "You know, I'd really like to have fill in the blank," and then went on their merry way, I'd be scratching my head and say, should I bother myself with their request, or should I just go ahead and ignore it? You know how kids are. They want something today, and tomorrow they want something differently, or something different. That's just the way it is. This woman was passionate. She knew what the need was, and she really, really wanted God to work. How badly do you want God to work, moms, in the lives of your children? For many of us, our children are grown and they have children of their own. For some of us, the children are still in the home. It makes no difference. Our job as a parent, and I've said this many times, our job as a parent is never done until one of us arrives in heaven. Usually it's the parent first. It's never done. A mother should pray for her children passionately with zeal and ardor and a great desire to see God help and work in the lives of her children, no matter what the age of her children. And I think oftentimes the reason why our churches are so weak and we're losing our Christian young people today is because mothers aren't praying like they ought to pray for their young people. And they're not praying passionately because they're not being taught to pray that way. And Christianity has become nothing more than a matter of convenience. And a matter of convenience has no passion to it. That's getting to the point where I don't want to use the Detroit Tigers for an example anymore. So let's talk about our Lions. We're all anticipating this year. From what I heard, the general manager of the Lions had a press conference and essentially said it's the Super Bowl or bust for this coming year. I like that attitude. Now imagine opening day. Now, I think they've announced a schedule, but I haven't paid attention. I don't know who they open up with. But imagine they show up at that first day or that first game. You have the coin flip, say the Lions kick off, and the ball lands in the arms of the receiver, and he takes off lickety-split towards the end zone on the other side to score a touchdown. And after the ball gets kicked, the Lions, you see two of their kickoff team huddled together talking about what they're going to do after the game. You see a few more of them over here huddled up talking about, what'd you do in the offseason? Oh, I had a great time. I went fishing and, well, I bought a new truck and I took it out two tracking. That's the word I'm trying to look for. In the meantime, right on past them flies the guy with the ball. What would you think of that? You'd be pretty upset if you have any desire for the Detroit Lions to win and make it to the Super Bowl. Well, the problem is they showed up, they wanted to win the game, but there was no passion, no drive, no desire. And oftentimes our prayer is just like that scenario that I painted of a game that the Detroit Lions, you can't say, played. In our Christian life, we've got to get some passion, some zeal back into it. And in our prayer lives, there needs to be passion. She fell on her face at his feet with her request. Her daughter had a great need, and she knew the only place she could go was to God. And as she went to God, she went with a heavy, burdened, passionate heart. The second thing we learn about this mother's prayer, not only was it passionate, we find out it was pointed. And by pointed, I just mean it wasn't one of these prayers, "Oh Lord, bless my child." We'll just use daughter. Bless my daughter. And then on to something else in her prayer life. You see, that's part of the point of passion too. It's because passionate understands there's a need and isn't satisfied with not praying for a specific need that the child has. And so in verse number 26, she is very specific about what she would like to see God do in her daughter's life. She says, and asks him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. That's exactly what she wanted. She knew that's what her daughter needed, and that's what she prayed for. She didn't say, Lord, make my daughter better. It was very specific. Now, sometimes in the lives of our children, we don't know the specifics, but we pray as specifically as we possibly can. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because we pray so generally that, again, God's up there scratching his head. And again, God doesn't scratch his head and wonder. But we're so general, how would God ever get the glory if he should happen to answer the prayer request you just made? You see, God wants to get the glory for the things that he does. He wants to be recognized in your life. How can you return thanks if you don't know if he's answered a prayer you've made or not? And sometimes the way we pray, we would never know if God responded. It was a very specific, a very pointed prayer request here. Her daughter was having a terrible time in life. It was because of the demon possession of this devil inside of her causing all kinds of havoc, because the devil has no friends and he will seek to destroy anyone and everything that he lays his hands on. These fools that are worshiping the devil today, and it's becoming more and more prevalent and they're becoming more and more open about it. Why would they worship one who hates them so much? I'm glad I worship God who loves me and gave himself for me and answers my prayers and seeks my best and my good all the time. But the devil is just the opposite. And the devil had his hand on this girl's life. And this mother understood what was going on. She wasn't clueless about the situation in her daughter's life. I mean, there's so much we could say about the relationship there. But she knew the problem, and she was very specific when she came to God. She said, God, this is what my child needs. Please help. It was passionate. It was pointed. But we also find, thirdly, it was persistent. Persistent. In verse number 27, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. That's just a fancy way of saying no. Did you catch that? But wait, it gets worse. Not only did he say no, look what he says. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. He just called her a dog. Now, we love dogs in our culture. It was different in Israel at that time. If we were to say it in our vernacular in a way that would say what he's trying, or communicate what he's trying to say here, we wouldn't cast our bread to the rat. Now, we use rats kind of in a affectionate term. My youngest daughter, Abby, I always called her a little rat. Because when we'd sit down to watch a show, best seat in the house was right in front of the couch. I'd lay a couple pillows up against the side of the couch, and I'd lean up against it, and she'd always lay there with me. Well, if she got there first, she did this multiple times. She would set my pillows up for me, and she would pat the pillows and say, Daddy, come lay down. And as I'd start to bend down, she would flop down in front of me and giggle and laugh. And I call it a little rat, an affectionate way. But imagine if you went down in your basement this afternoon and you saw rodents down there. That's what we're talking about. Not affectionate, disgust, abhorrence. You just are repulsed by the very sight and the very thought. That's what Jews thought of dogs. And so when he says to this woman, no, because you're a dog, that's what he's saying. You're repulsive. You're abhorrent. You disgust me. What would you do? Sorry, I bothered you. Man, I'm out of here. That's what I would have done. But I don't have the love of a mother that this mother obviously had for her daughter. It's persistent because she comes back with a response. She answered yet. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She was going to keep pestering him and stay with it until he decided that he was going to work and act on behalf of her daughter. How often do our children suffer or wander out in the wilderness of sin because we're not persistent? She wasn't letting go. She didn't care what the response was. It doesn't even seem to have fazed her. Her daughter had a need. She knew what that need was. She made a request for the need. God says no. And she says, I ain't okay with that. I'm going to stay here till you say yes. We need to have a persistent prayer life when we have needs in our life. If we can't pray for it more than once, do we really need it? Do we really want it? Can we be passionate in our prayer life if we're not willing to ask more than one time. Jesus teaches over and over in the Gospels about coming and coming and coming and coming again until God gives us what we want. It was persistent. We see, fourthly, not only was it passionate, not only was it pointed, not only was it persistent, but in verse number 29, we find it was powerful. It was powerful. The Lord sat up and took notice. And so in verse number 29, he says, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." In other words, she got what she asked for because of the way she approached Jesus. Now, she wasn't arrogant like you'll see on television where you have a couple of guys gather around and they have their prayer requests and they bow their head and they command God to do this, that, and the other thing. That's not the way she came before Almighty God. What did she do? All the way back at the beginning when we were talking about her being passionate. When she came into the house where Jesus was, she fell at his feet. A sign of submission, a sign of humility, a sign that I'm the servant and you're the master. But as my master, I, your servant, I have a great need on behalf of my daughter. And so her attitude and her heart was always in the right place. It was always reverential, but yet she knew this was her only place of hope. This was her only place of help, was at the feet of Almighty God. And so she wasn't leaving until God answered her prayer. And God saw her faith. And we'll talk about that next. That's essentially the next point. And he realized what was going on in her heart, in her life, and in her mind. God is a God of compassion, a God of love. Now, he's also a holy God. Don't ever forget that part. But he understands the burden of a mother's heart. And so he answered. Her prayer was powerful. But I think the reason, a major portion or part as to why it was powerful, was our last point, number five. It was persuaded. As I said, she prayed in faith. Notice what she did when he declared the devil is out. How does she know? Her daughter's back at the house. We don't know how far away that house was. It wasn't a great distance, but she couldn't hop in the car and go find out. She couldn't get on the phone and say, "Hey, how's..." whatever the name might be. She had to get up and walk to wherever she lived. But she got up and she left. That's faith. She believed that God had heard and that God had answered and that God had worked. She knew that he was able or she wouldn't have come in the first place. And she believed that he wanted her own good. Even though she was a Greek and not a Jew, he knew or she understood God's love for all men and that he wasn't just the God of the Jew, but the God of all men. And so her prayer was persuaded. She prayed in faith. I think this is the key as to why so many people have so much unanswered prayer. We lack faith. We know God can because we've heard that he's omnipotent, all-powerful. He can do anything. But what we fail to have faith in is his desire to help. His desire to grant us our wishes. And so we don't come. And when we do come, we lack passion. When we do come, we lack pointedness. When we do come, we lack persistence. And so, because of all these reasons, we lack power in our prayer life. But this mother was different. And Jesus knew she was different. And he saw the faith in her to believe that if he just declared it, it was so. Remember, there was a dad who had a little daughter that was sick. And he had sent some folks to ask Jesus to come. And then he sent again and said, "Don't come, just say, just declare it so, and I'll believe it." And Jesus was amazed. He said, "I have not found so great faith in Israel." So just believe that God can and that God will. This woman was persuaded as persuaded gets. You think God wants the best for you and for your children? You think God wants your children walking with the Lord? Then why don't we pray like it? Why aren't we persuaded like this woman was persuaded? We have all the advantage. We have all the privilege of the Word of God. We have a church that declares it. We can turn on the radio or go on the internet at any given time. We can find good radio station. We can find good teaching on the internet. We have all the advantages, and yet we fail to do so. This mother, though a Greek, is an incredible example, not just for our mothers, but for all of us in our prayer lives. How is your prayer life? Is it passionate, pointed, persistent, powerful, and persuaded? Father, we're grateful for recording this historical event in your life. So many people came and went in your 3.5 years of public ministry. You didn't have to record this. It almost seems out of place because you dealt primarily with the Jews, almost exclusively. And yet you chose to. Father, it's not something that causes us to wonder why as we consider all that happened here. You want us to pray. You want us to come. You even want us to ask boldly, but always in faith and in the proper reverence. Encourage us this morning in our own private prayer lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.